I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. It was probably tough for many of you to hear some of the news out of Iraq earlier this year. We saw the strategic city of Fallujah fall prey once again to insurgents, and these are many of the same insurgents that U.S. troops fought there for many years. And now it's happened again in another city. This time Sunni Islamist militants have seized control of much of Mosul in northern Iraq. That's the country's second largest city, home to some 2 million people. And even though Mosul seemed a relatively safe and stable place throughout the Iraq War, there's been trouble brewing there for years. For an Iraqi perspective on this, we turn to Zayd Al-Ali. He's an Iraqi legal scholar and the author of The Struggle for Iraq's Future. Zayd says what's happened in Mosul is a big blow.
Well, for me personally, this is a disaster because Iraq is my country and I want to have a future there. I want my son to have a future there. And our situation is getting so bad that we can't go for family visits anymore because it's so dangerous. The last time we went for a family visit, there were explosions all around us on a daily basis. And my son, who's very young, was put in danger completely unnecessarily. So I'm not sure when we can go back for another family visit as a result of this. Otherwise, in terms of the future of the country, politically, from a security perspective, obviously the short to medium term is very grim. This is a huge city that's now out of control, out of the government's control. Mosul is one of the Middle East's biggest cities. And the fact that it's no longer under the government's control, or at least isn't now, is a really terrible development. And we're waiting to see how the government is going to react. The prognosis is not good. Our security services are clearly under-equipped, undermanned, under-trained. So we don't know whether or not they're going to be able to retake the city anytime soon. It looks like they won't be able to.
The Prime Minister of Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki, wants Parliament to declare a state of emergency. That sounds like they're really sensing the pressure and the heat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But what's worrying about that is the political aspect of this, because the prime minister already has significant, if not total, control over the security forces. And he's already ignoring a lot of the due process rules that are included in the Constitution. So, for example, the right to fair trial, the right to be accused of a crime when you're arrested, so on and so forth. Those things are essentially ignored on a daily basis in many parts of the country. So it's really unclear to me what it is exactly that the prime minister wants in addition to what it is that he already has. So it's unlikely to make the armed forces fight any better. It's unlikely to make them perform any better on the battlefield. But it's likely, however, to make Iraq a more totalitarian country.
Well, I mean, his government, Maliki's government, is dominated by Shiites. He's been criticized for marginalizing the Sunni community in Iraq. Do you see the poison political atmosphere contributing to the situation in northern Iraq, or is the political atmosphere getting poisoned by the violence?
Well, I would say that it's a combination, right? So there's no question that the heavy-handed security measures that I described just a moment ago were mostly concentrated in what's referred to as Sunni-majority areas. But where I disagree is that the prime minister has marginalized Sunnis, because in fact, everyone's marginalized under his rule. It's not Sunnis exclusively, everyone is. He concentrates power in his own hands, in the hands of a very small number of people that surround him. And so other Shia, if that's the way you want to talk about these things, are also extremely upset with his rule. So he has the support of around a quarter of the population, but everyone else is very, very exasperated with his rule and are trying to find a way in order to make sure that he doesn't return for a third term. And these most recent developments now in Mosul add fuel to that fire. They make people even more determined to try to find a way to get rid of him, if that's possible at all.
In your opinion, though, Mr. Al-Ali, what responsibility lies at the U.S. doorstep for this violence?
Well, immediately, the first question that any thinking person should ask is, the Iraqi military and its special forces, its regular forces, its police forces were trained over and over again by the United States military and associated forces in Iraq. Hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, were spent on these training programs. What on earth has happened? Where did it all go wrong? Why was a group of around a few thousand fighters capable of taking one of the Middle East's biggest cities in just a matter of a few hours? Why did all these Iraqi security forces abandon their posts and refuse to fight and flee the battlefield immediately without fighting? That's a question that a lot of people should be asking, and questions won't be, and the answers won't be very comfortable, I'm sure, for the people who are involved in that training program and the people who today are responsible for the Iraqi military.
Iraqi legal scholar and the author of The Struggle for Iraq's Future, Zayd Al-Ali, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.